Good afternoon, guys. Wow. So today is Asian Day, so I have four or five speakers and some worship together. A couple announcements before we start. 15 minutes after the service today, there'll be a mission march rehearsal for all the marchers and flag carriers. And also, if you have a volunteer to carry the flag, please stay in the meeting. So today's the day you would get your flag. Is that good? 15 minutes, 3:15. And then at 5 tonight, there is a convention choir rehearsal in the fellowship hall. Amen? You want to be part of that? You can't sing. You know what? It's okay. I'm not going to be there. This is your chance to be part of the choir. It looks like there's no condition other than showing up. Amen? If you get turned away at the door, don't blame me, but this could be your chance. Like, I always wanted to be part of the choir. Maybe they'll let me in. No mic, you know, but in the background. Wouldn't that be nice? The numbers would be great. Three people singing. No, we're just having fun. Amen. So just before the men come, just one thought for us. And I mean, the verse will be, you know, I don't want to say the word just familiar, but that we would know it. And it's, you know, Matthew 11:28, where our Savior speaks to us. And I think we've all rested there. We've all gone there for great comfort. And by golly, we should, right? Come unto me when you're weary and you're heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Amen? How many love that verse? All right. However, and that's a great verse, it's only part of it. See, you go to Matthew 28 then. So I get the rest and I get the comfort. Then I hear another word. And I believe it, all power is given to me, right? And you know what he says next? Amen. Amen. Isn't that amazing? There's a purpose for my rest. And I don't want to cheat it. You know, I don't want to cheat the rest. I'm receiving it. And then God's going to say, hey, you rested up good? Yes. Let's keep it in our hearts today. Amen. Thank you, Pastor John. Oh, two mics? Yeah. We need another mic.
We call Nepali greetings. Jai Masi.
Greetings from Nepal.
Ma Nepali ma bolna gairheko chu.
I'm going to speak in Nepali.
That's why he's waha chai English ma bolnu huncha.
So here I will translate in English.
Pahila hami euta video dekhaunchau.
The first we'll see one video clip.
Tyo video le chai hamilai mero parichay dincha.
That video will give my introduction.
Okay, video. Hello.
Nepal. A beautiful landlocked country surrounded by mountains and Himalayas, rich in its culture, tradition and diversities, which comprises of different religious groups. A country of 30 million where dominant Hindus are 81%, Buddhist 9%, Islam 4%, leaving Christianity at a percentage of 1.4%. Greater Grace Church Nepal, situated at Kathmandu, the capital, has been ministering here since the year 2000 Under the leadership of Pastor Rajan Deopane, the ministry has experienced a major growth in these 20 years. Today, this ministry has impacted in the lives of many, adding many more into the kingdom of God and leadership. The church in Kathmandu is the home base for 45 churches all over Nepal, where our 50 missionaries and pastors who are graduated from our Bible college are currently serving. Our prime vision is to train men and women in the Word of God and equip them to reach the unreached in the 77 districts of Nepal. Mountain Life Bible College Training Center, the ministry under the covering of Greater Grace Church, is helping to achieve this goal with our 4 years Bachelor in Theology program. Currently, there are 20 residential and 10 non-residential students are being trained. Every week, our church members actively take part in weekly outreaches. We are always looking for creative ways to reach out the lost by gospel tracts distribution, personal evangelism, street preaching, and street play. Jesus Film Ministry has been an effective tool to reach out the lost in the remote areas of Nepal. Films on the life of Jesus has proven to be one of the best way to let people know about the sacrificial love of God. Countless people have been touched by the love of Christ as a result of watching films about Jesus. Our radio program, Prem Ko Sandesh, broadcast every Tuesday on Radio Nepal, which reaches all over Nepal. With the gospel of Christ, we receive calls from remotest part of Nepal to which we enroll them to our Bible correspondence course. More than 1,000 people are taking this course. Using our translation team, we have published Pastor Carl's Foundational Christian Truth book in Nepali language. We have also translated many booklets of Pastor Carl Stephen, and currently we are working in few others. 30% of Nepal's population live in oral culture. That means they need to hear the Word of God in order to understand and accept it. Keeping them in mind, we built our own recording studio where we have recorded Pastor Carl's Foundational Christian Truth book in regional language. And many projects are underway under the leadership of Pastor Rajan Deopane. Hope Orphanage is another key ministry of Greater Grace Church Nepal, where 25 orphans are currently being taken care of. They are being mentored by Christian parents.
You say hamro sevakai ho.
This is the ministry which we are doing in Nepal.
Islai mahatwapurna banaunako lagi chai,
to make this ministry important,
mahatwapurna kura chai Bible college ho.
To make this ministry very important, we have a Bible college.
Yesko lagi chai Pastor Carl le malai dherai encourage garnu bhayo Bible college ko lagi.
For Bible college, Pastor Carl Silva encouraged me a lot.
Sabanda mahatwapurna kura manishko jivanko lagi chai Parmeshwar ko bachan.
One of the most important thing in every human being's life is the Word of God.
Tesekarle hamile yeslai pahilo priority ma rakhyau.
So that we kept this Bible college as a first priority.
Ma tesai bhara aaja Bible ko bachan Markus 4 adhyay ko 18 dekhi 20 samma pardai chhau.
Today I want to read book of Mark from 4, chapter 4, 18 to 20. I'll read for you. And these were sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the of this world and deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it become unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100.
हामी यसलाई विचार गरौँ.
Let's think about it.
जब संसारको समस्यामा मानिसहरू पर्छन्, संसारको सोचमा मानिसहरू पर्छन्,
the people when they come into the problem of this world,
संसारको कुराहरूमा जब मन जान्छ हाम्रो,
when our thinking goes to the world,
अनि संसारको कुराले चाहिँ कहिले पनि हामीलाई उत्साहित गराउँदैन.
The worldly things, it cannot encourage us always.
जहिले पनि देख्दाखेरि राम्रो देखिन्छ यसलाई.
From far it's look very good.
देख्दाखेरि असल देखिन्छ.
From far it's look great.
तर यसले राम्रो गर्दैन.
It's never does any good to us.
अनि हाम्रो मैले एउटा भन्ने गरेको छु.
I used to tell.
मैले रेडियोबाट प्रचार गर्ने कारणले.
I speak from radio.
त्यसकारणले मैले अलिकति स्टोरी कथा पनि भन्छु.
I tell story through the radios.
संसारको थोकहरूले चाहिँ एउटा समस्या उत्पन्न गर्छ.
वर्ल्डली थिङ ब्रिङ अस टु सम प्रब्लम.
एउटा कथा चाहिँ एउटा मानिसले,
वान स्टोरी, देयर इज वान म्यान.
उसै सन्त मानिस थियो, उसँग कुनै पनि कुरा आफ्नो थिएन.
हि इज लाइक ए सेन, हि डजन्ट ह्याभ एनिथिङ हिज ओन.
ऊ जहाँ जान्थ्यो त्यहीँ खान्थ्यो.
वेयर एभर हि गोस हि विल इट.
अनि उहाँ ऊ जहाँ जान्छ त्यहीँ बस्थ्यो.
वेयर एभर इज गो एन्ड देयर इज स्टे.
उसलाई कुनै कुराको चिन्ता थिएन.
एन्ड नो वरी इन हिज लाइफ.
उसलाई भोलिको कुरा परमेश्वरले जुटाउनुहुन्छ भन्ने कुरामा ऊ सोच्थ्यो.
दिस म्यान वाज ट्रस्टिङ द लर्ड फर टुमोरो, गड विल प्रोभाइड मी टुमोरो.
तर एक दिन जाँदा जाँदै बाटोमा उसले $100 भेटायो.
वान डे वाइल हि वाज गोइङ अन द वे हि फाउन्ड $10 बिल.
$100.
यस.
त्यसपछि उसको जीवन उसले सोच्न थाल्यो.
देन स्टार्टेड थिङ्किङ,
मैले यसले के किनौँ.
सो वाट आई क्यान पर्चेस थ्रु दिस $100.
के किनौँ, के खाउँ, के विचार गरौँ.
And then start thinking, what I can buy through this $100, I can buy eatable things and other things.
Ule plan garnu thalyo.
Then started planning.
Ule yojana banauna thalyo.
Then started estimating things.
And $300 pugyo.
Then it goes went up to the $300. Now whatever he planned it became $300.
But usama $100 mate thiyo.
But he has only $100.
Usle feri yojana lai badalyo.
Then he changes plan.
Ani feri $250 bhayo.
Then it came down to $250.
Feri usle afno yojana lai badalyo.
Then again he changes plan.
Feri paisa pugena.
Then the $100 bill was not sufficient.
Usle bichar garyo.
Then he started thinking.
Mero lagi yo thik hoina.
And this $100 is not for me.
Usle jaha paeko tyahi rakhyo.
Then where he found, he left that money there.
त्यही प्रकारले संसारमा हामीलाई यही खालका प्रब्लमहरू, हामीले जब यी कुराहरू सोच्छौँ, तर त्यसभन्दा पछि हामीले जब सोच्छौँ कि परमेश्वरको वचन जब सुन्छ उसले,
लाइक द्याट वी फेस इन दिस वर्ल्ड, बट वेन वी हियर वर्ड अफ गड,
जब हामीले यस प्यासेजमा हामीले सुन्यौँ,
वाट वी हियर इन दिस प्यासेज,
ऊ चाहिँ फलवन्त हुन्छ.
हि विल बी द फ्रुटफुल.
उसले मानिसहरूलाई ख्रिस्टमा ल्याउँछ.
हि विल ब्रिङ द पिपल टु गड.
उसले चाहिँ 60 गुणा 100 गुणा फल फलाउँछ.
देन हि विल ब्रिङ फोर्थ 30-fold 60-fold एन्ड 100-fold.
यो चाहिँ क्रिस्चियन जीवनको लागि महत्त्वपूर्ण उत्साह. हरेक किसिमको उत्साह चाहिँ बाइबलबाट आउँछ.
एभ्री इन्करेजमेन्ट वी गेट फ्रम बाइबल.
उत्पत्ति टु प्रकाश.
From Genesis to Revelation,
हरेक ठाउँमा परमेश्वरले भन्नुहुन्छ.
In every place God says,
म तिमीलाई छोड्दिन.
I will never leave you.
म तिमीलाई त्याग्दिन.
I will never forsake you.
तिम्रो साटो मैले रगत बगाएर तिम्रो पापको ज्यालातिर मैले तिमीलाई छुटकारा दिएको छु.
I have sent a blood on behalf of you and forgive your sins.
यसको साटो हामी संसारसित सल्लाह लिन जान्छौँ, संसारसित योजना बनाउन जान्छौँ.
एन्ड इन्स्टेड अफ दिस वी आर गोइङ टु प्लान, वी गो टु अदर डाइरेक्सन टु प्लान फर द वर्ल्डली थिङ्स.
यसले चाहिँ हामीलाई समस्या ल्याउँछ, जसरी अघिको कथामा जस्तै.
एन्ड द स्टोरी विच वी जस्ट हर्ड इट्स ब्रिङ फोर्थ द प्रब्लम इन आवर लाइफ.
त्यस कारणले मैले जहिले पनि यो कुरालाई महत्त्वपूर्ण लिएको छु मेरो जीवनमा.
द्याट्स वाइ आई हेभ गिभन मोस्ट इम्पोर्टेन्ट वर्ड अफ गड.
हरेक समय परमेश्वरको वचन सुन्नु.
Every time to hear God's words.
Harik din, harik samay.
Every time we hear God's word.
Hamile yesailai pahilo priority rakheka chhau hamro Bible college ko lagi.
That's why we have given first priority, that's our Bible college.
Hami Baltimore sanga sunna chahanchhau.
And we hear from Baltimore.
हाम्रो मानिसहरूले पास्टर सालर्सको मेसेज सुन्नुहुन्छ.
Our people, they hear Pastor Sallers message.
त्यसले हामीलाई इन्करेज, उत्साह आउँछ.
द्याट इन गिभ अस इन्करेज.
अनि उहाँहरूले रातिको समयमा पनि सुन्नुहुन्छ मेसेज.
एन्ड आवर पिपल दे हियर नाइट टाइम अल्सो, मिड नाइट टाइम.
त्यसैले गर्दा अहिले हामीले नेपालमा,
द्याट्स वाइ इन नेपाल टुडे
हामीले प्रभुको काम गर्न सकेका छौँ.
वी गुड एबल टु डु गड्स वर्क इन नेपाल.
नेपालमा अहिले एन्टी कन्भर्जन ल छ.
इन नेपाल देयर इज एन्टी कन्भर्जन बिल हेज बिन पास्ड.
तर हामीले येशूलाई प्रचार गर्न कहिले पनि छोड्दैनौँ.
बट वी नेभर स्टप प्रिचिङ क्राइस्ट.
अनि हामी हाम्रो उद्देश्य छ 77 जिल्लामा गएर येशू ख्रिस्टको सुसमाचार प्रचार गर्ने.
इट्स आवर भिजन टु रिच आउट 77 डिस्ट्रिक्ट अफ नेपाल.
अहिले हामीसँग 30 स्टुडेन्टहरू तयार हुँदै हुनुहुन्छ.
नाउ वी हेभ 30 स्टुडेन्ट्स वी आर गेटिङ, वी आर अन्डर ट्रेनिङ.
अनि ती उहाँहरूको सबैको सबैजना त्यही चाहनुहुन्छ कि जहाँ येशु ख्रिस्टको सुसमाचार पुगेको छ त्यही ठाउँमा गएर सुसमाचार प्रचार गर्ने.
एन्ड देयर विजन इज द्याट द वेयरएभर क्राइस्ट इज अननोन, दे वान्ट टु रिच आउट द्याट प्लेस विथ द गस्पल.
त्यस कारण मलाई मेरो पास्टर कालले एउटै कुरा सिकाउनु भयो.
एन्ड पास्टर काल, माई पास्टर, ही टट मी वान थिङ.
बाइबल पढ, बाइबल अध्ययन गर.
रिड बाइबल, स्टडी बाइबल.
अनि बाइबल मेडिटेसन गर.
मेडिटेट बाइबल.
म थ्याङ्क यू पास्टर काल भन्छु यो समय.
म आई थ्याङ्क्स पास्टर काल.
थ्याङ्क यू पास्टर सालर एन्ड थ्याङ्क यू पास्टर सिबेले.
थ्याङ्क यू पास्टर सालर एन्ड थ्याङ्क यू पास्टर सिबेले.
आमेन,
आमेन.
Already, Pastor Clyde from the Philippines.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come together, Lord, to hear from you and to be sensitive, Lord, to your leading. And we pray, Lord, we are using this prayer, Lord, to honor the ministry in Baltimore. Pastor Schaller, Pastor Shibeli, oh Lord, men and women who are working around the clock, Lord, just to proclaim, to share, to testify about your love towards us and towards others. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so, yes. I was told, we have a booth, a Philippine booth at the building, and the proceeds will go to help the poor and the hungry, and that would be me and two of my companions from Manila. So please come to the booth and buy our products. And I was thinking about what to say. And I was thinking about what is God angry more hateful, how could we like say it? What is God angry about the most? What is it? What is the thing that makes God angry? And I was looking at the Bible, and I found Ezekiel 33, verse 11. He is angry when men and women who were saved, who were forgiven, who were redeemed, but go to hell simply because they refused to believe in the message of grace, message of salvation. And what is it about us or about men that God is so, that He considers us so precious? How can we be so precious when our minds are polluted with sin, when our heart is deceitful, and our way of life is detestable before God? Why are we still precious to God? What is it that God desires in us? And it is because when God created us, He left something of Himself in our soul, and He left His image when He created Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve fell, something happened. Adam, among other things, their eyes were open. They sewed fig leaves, and what did they do? They hid from behind the bush. And ever since that time, man has become abnormal. We say that generally people are normal, but we are by nature abnormal because we live our lives behind the bush. And we make it seem to appear that we are normal when we are not. So God sent His Son into the world so that He would restore the image. Because in God's love towards us, it's the other way around. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we read that we are being changed from glory to glory into the image of God. But actually, it is God looking at the image in our life, moving, organizing, orchestrating things, all things together, so that He would see a clearer image of Himself in our lives. Because even in creation, our lives were never about ourselves. It was always about the image which He inscribed in every soul. And before I left Manila, there are children that come by our house, they sell bread. And one day I thought, why don't I share the gospel and see what happened? So I gave them the bracelet, explained to them the colors, and they readily accepted the gospel. And I said, if you can memorize John 3:16, I will treat you for, we call it Jollibee in the Philippines. It's the equivalent of McDonald's, but more delicious than McDonald's. So one of the kids came the following day. He said, I know the scripture. I can recite it to you. So I said, go ahead, recite. And he did. And so we went to Jollibee, and so I started asking him about his family, and he said, and asked, do you know that if your parents love you? They said, yes, I know they love me. But do they say it to you? No, they don't. But would you like them to say it? Yes. And when he said, when I asked the third question, he began to weep because he really wanted to hear his parents say that he is loved. And I see the only way for us to return into fellowship, full fellowship with God, is when God will take us out from the bush, remove the filthy garments, wash our bodies with his blood, dwell in us, give us a new name, and give us the encouragement to be who we are and what we are called to do in this life, to give us the courage to say, Lord, I made a mistake. I come to you boldly. I don't want to come to you from the bush. I want to come to you from the standpoint of grace, from the standpoint of having been justified by your love. And we receive the fellowship of the Son, and we become normal again because we come to God. And do you know why I am encouraged? Not in a good way, but in a spiritual way, because I know in my heart of hearts that I have failed God in many ways. But I am encouraged because of his promises, because of his character, because of his word, because of the body of Christ, that he will never leave me nor forsake me. That even if I don't produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit in me, I'm still okay with God. I don't have to be what I think I should, but I can be where I am, receiving the love of God, and not from behind the bush, but before the image that is in us. And finally, maybe the thought that I wanted to leave behind is that sanctification. What is sanctification? In the context of what I'm trying to say to you, is that sanctification is living the life of God in the condition we are born into and in the situations we enter into. God expressing who he is in the person that he made us. And God, if you take away what Pastor Drew said, if you study God and you lay aside his righteousness, his holiness, his might, his power, what will we see? The meekness of Christ at the cross. That is who God is as a person. We know him, we describe him as powerful, holy, wonderful. But if we take away those things, we see the humility and meekness of Christ at the cross and the image of the Father being demonstrated by the Son to us of how much we are, what we mean to him. He means Who's an American here? Okay, we are more. A French guy can help me here. We mean more to him than we are to him. Is it correct? We mean more to him than with he is to us. Hallelujah, Father. Praise the Lord. Amen.
We'll have a special song now. Okay, Pastor Benyu from Mumbai, India.
Check. Wow, it takes the courage to be here. If you are from India, could you please stand? Pastor John Kenny, where are you sitting? You can stand. Okay, he's also from India. Okay. Wow, it's amazing to be here. And many times I feel kind of a fear. But this theme is so good. It takes courage. And I was thinking this song, This Is My Father's World. How many know that song? Good. I'm not singing, but I'm just thinking. just thinking about This Is My Father's World. I don't have to be fearful. Then the thought came, This is my father's house. In father's house. Recently I visited my parents. And going to the parents, going to visit your father, or visit our fathers, like it does not have any fear. There is a joy, there is a fellowship, there is a kind of a delightful experience. But I also remember in childhood days where there were a lot of fear to face the Father. In Luke chapter 15, we see the story about a son. And I feel many times we can feel that, so much of projections, intimidating experiences. And in this story that the son wasted all the possessions. And he's saying to the father, the younger one, the father had two sons, that story. And the younger one said to the father, give me my possessions. Father, give me my possessions. I'm not going to wait till your death. Give me right now. And the father patiently gives him the possession. And he sold the possessions. He went to a faraway country. Wow, it's a good experience. Everything God is approving. Like I'm going far away. But then things changed, dramatically changed. There was a famine and there is all his possessions is gone. And he's alone and he is hungry. Then the thought came, he said, In my father's house there are servants, they are eating and enough to spare. And I think that motivated him and coming back. And just visualizing that and thinking about that picture about the son coming back, maybe dragging himself with the feeble steps and a lot of mind filled with the condemnation, guilt. How is he going to respond? What is the expression in his face? But then something happened. Something happened. All those condemnation was maybe shouting in his mind, but then there is a voice or the noise of the running steps of the father shocked him. He made all kinds of confessions and things. He said, I will confess like this, I sinned against you and heaven. Don't consider me as a son, consider me as a servant. The father did not hear that. He he kissed him, and you know the story. And that's an amazing. That's in our Father's house, in my Father's house. Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." Let us come boldly. Maybe sometimes I feel like I'm dragging myself to the house. I'm dragging myself there. I wasted time. I wasted the opportunities. I wasted my Father's possession. But then I hear that voice, "Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may receive grace and mercy in the time of need." Is it amazing? Wow, that's amazing. That's what we are part of. This is not like a good people club, right? This is a spiritual people. Pastor Pete Wister was saying that if we are alone, we are like crazy people. But all these crazy people coming together in Christ, there is something beautiful. And this has happened. But there is projection, there's a voice. But then there is also another son. We heard that, we know that, the eldest son. As he's coming, and he saw that there is a huge festival is going inside the house. Music, the fatted calf, the smell is coming, all these things. And he asked one of the servants, "Come here, what's happening?" And he said, the servant said, your brother has come back. And the father is glad, and he has made a fatted calf also. And he was very angry. His step was not moving. He's saying that, "I'm not moving. I'm not going inside." And he saw that the father again here came down softly. He said, he came down to the son again, the elder son. And the elder son said, You never gave me a fatted young goat. He said that. "You never gave me. I never transgressed your commandment." And the father said, "I'm not going to disown your younger brother. I'm not going to disown you too. I want you to come inside. Come. Come. Participate. Let us fellowship. This is my this is our house. This is the Father's house." Romans 8:15, it says like this, Romans chapter 8, verse 15, we can say like this, Apostle Paul says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." We did not receive the spirit of bondage or slavery. The son, the first son said, "I want to be like a servant so that I will learn some skill in a year and I will pay back the debt. Or I will pay all the whatever that wasted opportunity. I will pay back. I'll try to do it." But we did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear again. But what kind of spirit we received? But we received the spirit of adoption. Spirit of adoption. Spirit of son. By whom we cry out, "Abba. Abba, Father." We cry out, "Abba, Father." Or in a way, joyfully. There is a loud noise. That's what we were singing. And what is happening? The spirit is, like by spirit, we are shouting the affirmation that we are the sons of God. We are the children of God. Maybe I'm dragging myself. But that's okay. I'm in my Father's house. Hearing this voice, "You did not receive the spirit of bondage, but we received the spirit of adoption." In a way, the sonship. I received that. We cry out, "Abba, Father." And did you know that, like Jesus on the Mark chapter 14, he was on the knees and crying out, "Abba, Father. Abba, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me." There is a boldness. There is a coming into the presence of God. And that's what makes us a beautiful people of God here. Because we hearing this voice, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." And we have received that. Asaph, in the Psalm 73, he was very discouraged by seeing all the surroundings, the politics, or by the situations. Very disturbed. Very disturbed. He says that their mouth is going all the world. The tongue is going all around the world. He was very disturbed. And then this is what changed his life. He came to the house of God. It totally changed. Then he said, "Whom I have in heaven? Do we have anyone in heaven except God? There is none on the earth, Lord, beside you. There is none except you." That's really changed. We are the children of God. We are not like that Luke 15, the eldest son, putting a stumbling block on that weak son. But in Hebrews chapter 12, just closing Hebrews chapter 12, it says like this. I was reading today, I say that verse 12, Hebrews 12, "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but rather be healed." Isn't it amazing that? Make straight paths for your feet lest that which is lame may be turned out of the way or to be healed. Wow, this is amazing. I'm so blessed to be here, and your courage and the courage from this pulpit, even the difficult situations we are witnessing, and the body of Christ in India, Mumbai, India, and we are like so blessed to be part of that. We are in our Father's house. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Pastor Mike Plunkett.
Well, hasn't this been a great afternoon with these portions? Wow, just so many people from all over the world visiting and being a part of this. That's amazing. Let's turn to a couple of portions, and then we'll say a few things. Isaiah 43. Lord, just continue to bless this afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And that is, of course, dealing with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. God was going to do something new, bring them out of Egypt, bring them into a wilderness, into just a new time, a new situation, and a new opportunity to grow. Something new was going to happen to the children of Israel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Read a few verses here. And this is Paul. Second Corinthians 11:23. "And they, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, more measure, above measure in prisons, more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness and often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. How many people are ready to sign up? Who wants to be a pastor, a missionary, a servant of God? We'll take names right after this. That's quite a list from Paul, isn't it? That's an exciting life he had. And it's interesting that when he first got saved, what was one of the first things he was going to be told? How many remember what he was going to have to suffer for Christ's namesake? So this is, I mean, would we choose this way? Is this something that we would choose to do? Would we choose God's way? Jesus said to Peter, when you are old, something's going to happen. You're going to stop doing your own thing, and I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to lead you along, and you're going to follow. And where I'm going to lead you, you would not normally do that. That's not something you would choose. So we, in this life, we have all of these amazing plans. And they could be plans for our life or family. They could be maybe career. Maybe they are missionary plans. Maybe are, you know, they're a vision. And these are amazing. But God is not in bondage to these plans. He is not, you know, in, he doesn't have a problem with his sovereignty being implemented in our lives. He can do that very easily. And it's interesting, about a year and a half ago, well, I'd say about a year ago, my wife and I were in a certain place. We were there 20 years as missionaries, and we loved it there. We could speak the language. It was, we had joy. We were just looking forward to more. We were looking forward to do more in that country, and we were excited about that. And then God kind of did a timeout, you know, one of these timeouts. And he said, you're not going to do that, at least for now. I'm going to put you somewhere else, and you're going to go somewhere else for a period of time. Would we have chosen that? No. Did it really make sense? Not to the natural mind. But God is not in bondage. He is not limited to my common sense evaluation of what my call should be. He has a different plan. And he is completely free to implement what he wants to do. And it's really interesting. Think of Paul. Paul was a teacher, a rabbi, an up-and-coming person in the Jewish faith. So who do you think would be the person that would be the missionary to the Gentiles? Do you think it would be Paul? Why not send Paul, somebody who's learned in the scriptures? Of course, he did speak to Jews when he went on his missionary journeys. But he had an amazing ministry to Gentiles, and he was called to Gentiles. Why him? Why not choose somebody else? Why choose a fisherman to kind of lead the Jewish church? Does it make sense? It's hard to say with the natural mind. But God is not limited to my ability. His sovereignty is not limited to me, to me and my plans, my vision, what's supposed to happen in my mind, what I think would be good for God's kingdom or God's church. His ways are so much greater than mine. And then just if we could turn lastly in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Has God ever done a new thing for you? Has God ever caused you to pivot inside of His will, maybe in a location, maybe to leave a great career or a job that you thought you'd be doing for decades and then call you to Bible college? Has God ever done a new thing? Has God ever caused you to leave like a place that you're comfortable with, a city that you're comfortable with, and go to a place where you're not comfortable? Did He ever do a new thing with you? Is there new things happening in the world every year now? Is there uncertainty happening throughout the world? Are we kind of surprised by current events and what is, you know, the world is kind of barreling towards at a high speed? I think so. In 2 Timothy 2:13, though, it says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. So, just in closing, the details of our life inside the plan of God can have a lot of uncertainty. We don't know when God is going to do a new thing, bring you to a new place, bring you to a new mission field, bring you to a new place to study the Bible, or to grow as a Christian, or to have the Word of God dwell richly inside of you. There's a lot of uncertainties. There's a lot of uncertainties in the world, with our jobs, with people around us, people making decisions around us. And God is sovereign and free in all of these issues. The one security that we have through all of the uncertainty is actually something that God can't do. And what God can't do is deny His character. He cannot do something that is outside of His character. He cannot speak something that is a lie, that is contradictory to who He is. John 8, a woman is brought before who had just, you know, caught in adultery, thrown there in front of Him. Jesus is not in a hurry. He's just sitting there writing. And then finally, the Jews, the Pharisees say, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? What did He do? He did what His character was. He loved her. He gave her grace and mercy. And then He said, go and sin no more. He gave her forgiveness, love, grace. That was His character. And because He's holy and righteous, He said, go and sin no more. We might not know what's going around us, going on around us. We might not be able to figure out what's going on around us. But there is a constant. There is something that is predictable in the midst of all of this, and that is who God is. And God can never not be who He is. He will always be gracious. He will always be loving. He will always be merciful. He will always be holy. He will always be righteous. And as we get to know Christ, even though something crazy is happening that we cannot figure out, we can just like probably sit back and say, watch this. Watch this. Because God cannot deny Himself. He can't. It's who He is. He is faithful. He cannot be not faithful. So let's just sit back and watch God do something in this trial. Let's just sit back and watch God save this person who's calling out. Let's just sit back and enjoy Jesus being who he is, because he cannot deny himself. And that is how, in an uncertain world with uncertain situations, we can be courageous. We can be courageous. Amen.
Good afternoon. Oh, I wasn't expecting this. You can tell. I would have dressed up a little bit, maybe. It's good to be here. It's good to see Pastor Clyde. Yeah, we both had to travel all this way to see each other face to face. I'm glad he's here, and it's glad to see all of you. And greetings from Grace Mission Church in Seoul, South Korea, where, yeah, we have survived the pandemic. Yes, you know, I was just thinking about it the other day, you know, hearing about these stories of churches that lost people during the coronavirus situation, and I was thinking, like, we haven't lost one. Praise God. You know, they're all still there. They're all still there. So I'm very thankful to God for that. In Romans chapter 8, verse 25, it says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Hoping for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And I was thinking about, what have I learned in this past year or over these past few years, is the value of waiting. Waiting. Waiting on God. Waiting, like what Pastor Mike was saying, is like the idea that, you know, God is God. God is God, and that if it's the work of God, it's God's work. It's not my work. It's God's work. And waiting on God, waiting on God, waiting to see what he is going to do. It says waiting here with perseverance. Sometimes it's really hard to wait. You want to see results. You want to see changes. I want to see changes in me. I want to see results in my own life. And I wonder, and I ask God, like, when's it going to happen, God? When is it going to happen? When is it going to be different? You know, and I can be very impatient with myself. And I could be impatient with people in my church. But God has shown me the value of just waiting. Waiting. Praying and waiting. Preaching and waiting. Investing and waiting. Just keep going forward with perseverance and just waiting. And then, as Pastor Mike said, God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. He is faithful. He brings about the desired result in his time and in his way, better than what I could have asked or imagined. And it's so sweet. It's so sweet. We were here in the morning session, and I heard the voices like I've heard over many years of, like, parents talking about, you know, when is my child going to turn back to the Lord? When is my child going to recognize, you know, the truth? When are they going to seek after God? You know, and, you know, Pastor Pete gave a great answer. He said, you know, just wait. Wait. You know, as a parent, you've done your best to invest in them. You've tried to rear them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You've brought them to church and Sunday school and Christian school and you've had the Bible in your home, wait. Wait. Pray and wait. Look to the Lord and wait. And, you know, it's like I said, it's not easy. It's not always easy. It's not easy to see people go through things. Would you think, like, if they would just quickly change, you know, they could save themselves some pain and some stress. And but that's part of the process. That's part of the process. They're learning, they're growing. And we're just there waiting for them. You know, the example that was given of the prodigal son, the prodigal's father waited. He waited. That son had to come to the end of himself in the pig pen before he looked up and thought, yeah, I should go home. And yes. So I had one other thought, and it's because maybe Pastor Steve's been sitting behind me over there, but you have given me some of the best advice that it constantly comes back to me. Every single time I have to come up here and stand in this pulpit, which is not very often, but you know, I think, like, oh my gosh. It's not as easy for me to stand up here in this pulpit as my little church back home, and like I have to take courage, you know? And, you know, I was sitting over there, and I thought, oh, good, like they picked all these other guys from Asia. I get to take the year off, maybe. But then, you know, every time it's like this, you know, when I go into a new place and I'm standing in front of people that I've never spoken to before, and they're all strangers, and you wonder if they're going to listen to you or accept you or just nod off or walk out, or if you're going to say something and it's you're going to sit back down and say, what did I just say? Oh no. But Pastor Steve, I remember one time when I was here in Baltimore and I was singing with the worship team. He came back behind here where we're all standing with microphones ready to go out. And he said to me and everyone else, he says, you know what? He says, just go out there. Just go out there. Don't worry about it. He says, you know, God loves you now. And God's going to love you when you walk off that stage too. And it's not going to change. There's nothing that you could do out there on that stage that's going to change how much God loves you. And that's gotten me through so many things, Pastor Steve, so I thank you. Really. You know, when I'll close with this, like when I found out that Pastor DeVries was not coming back to pastor in South Korea. And I was there and I was thinking, oh no, it's me? Oh. That Pastor Andrew Lonis's voice was there. It's like, just get up, preach whatever God gives to you, open your mouth, and let God deal with it, you know? You know, you do your best. I remember Pastor Stevens telling us that. You know, just do your best. That's all you can do. And you get up and do your best and pray that the Holy Spirit is there with it. And then you sit back down again and God's still going to love you just as much as before you got up there and opened your mouth. And it's gotten me through so much. So think about that and remember that. And with that, I will say thank you so much for listening and I'll sit down. Bye.
How many people, you don't have to stand up, but just put your hand up that you served in Asia. Put your hand up. Look around. That's a pretty good crowd, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Thank God for them. Does anyone have a a concrete plan to go to Asia? Put your hand up. Come on. There you go, Pastor Cliff. Oh, wait, who's this in the back there? Andrew. Yeah, he's been there. Come on up here, Pastor Cliff. Let's hear about it. Yeah, amen. Tell us what's happening.
Me and my wife, we served in China for 4.5 years. When the COVID started, we fled China and went to Brazil. It's like jumping out of the frying pan into the fire, but God has a plan. And since we've been in Brazil, we've wanted to go to another country. We're getting up there. I'm 68. My wife is... No, I can't reveal that. She won't give me a peaceful day the rest of the day. Recently, there's a devotional by Pastor Shabelli to the Asian pastors, and I'm included in on that. And about a month ago or so, maybe 2 months ago, Pastor Shabelli was just saying, hey, why plant a church where there's 10 other churches nearby? Why don't you go to a country that doesn't have many churches? And so I thought about different countries, and I thought about Indonesia, and Indonesia is 80% Muslim, and they do have some Christians there, but it's divided. The western part of Indonesia is like very heavily Muslim, and the eastern part, they do have some Christians. And so, and then I got in contact with Daryl Jones, because Daryl Jones, I think about 33, 34 years ago, went there with Pastor Barry Quirk, and they had a vision for Indonesia. And they went there just for 1 year, and they came back, and Daryl Jones, he married an Indonesian woman, you probably know her, Jenny, real sweet lady. And so they let me know that since then, they've always been praying for Indonesia. And so I thought, wow, what a great place to go to under the covering of prayer for these 33 years. And so I said, yeah, that's the place to go with a covering of prayer like that. And they do a Zoom prayer meeting now every other Sunday morning, and I've been included in that. And so I get on the Zoom prayer meeting with Pastor Barry Quirk and Daryl Jones and Pastor Grinwald and Steve Chapman. He's on that as well. And so it's exciting to think about. I'm very happy to see that the Indonesian language isn't like Chinese. Chinese is very difficult, but the Indonesian language isn't a tonal language like the Chinese. And so, we're just excited to be able to go there. And I'm really, these messages that we've heard, and just thinking about Jesus and thinking about his life, and just being able to have that opportunity to share the gospel to these precious people, allowing the Holy Spirit just to fill us daily, and just to be able to express that, the love and joy and peace of Christ to these people. And just, I just look forward to seeing these people getting saved and starting a church there, and just seeing the those precious people coming to the Lord. So it's we go with Daryl Jones to Indonesia on the 9th of August. We'll be there for a month, and then we'll go back to Brazil for a short season and hopefully repack and go back to Indonesia.
Wow. Yeah. Well, there's a trip to join. What do you think? All right, well, let's think of this. We're going to make a couple announcements, and we'll have a worship time as we close. So after the service today, get your flag. We also need 40 volunteers to carry flags. I know many do that, so someplace you'd want to go, or if you just want to be in the march, let us give you a flag. And so you also come down and get a flag at, you know, the after the service. And at 5 o'clock, convention, choir, rehearsal. Amen. So for just a personal note, I like for my wife to stand. If I know. Come on, I got to do that stuff, man. Okay. Who is she? Yeah. I mean, yeah, she should get applause. She married me, you know. She was like 18 years old. I don't know. We'll be married 47 years this year. Can you believe that? I think we're married like longer than we are alive, it feels like. I think even though like I only do short-term missions, I'm only like 2 weeks out and back. I am probably 6 or 7 years in the field in different countries. And this precious woman just sent me. Sometimes she'd say, you know, things get a little rough. Go to the mission field, will you? that's a wife, huh? And then if there's any of my children here, would they stand up? Please, guys, you know, these guys, James and... A lot of them are back in the nursery because we be multiplying. Hallelujah. My son David just came out the door all the way. He actually is my pastor now. He, you know, I was his pastor like 31 years of his life. Now he's my pastor. It is so much fun to see the man of God be raised up and submitting to him. And then the Tennessee, anyone here from Tennessee Church? I don't know how many are still here, Tina and Pastor Keen and John and Rachel. Yeah, thank you guys so much. All righty. So just as we'll go into a worship time, and like here is, you know, our thought that, you know, I receive all that I need from the Lord, right? I'm getting a lot of grace. What for the believer priest is like the highest thing that I could respond to the Lord? What's, you know, like, what can I give back? You know, what, you know, like, what could I render, you know, like in the psalm for all the benefits, right? I mean, there it says, you know, that I would just take the cup of salvation. And we do. Hallelujah, right? But like, could I even, you know, like, it's like a danger area. Could I in my life go, would you have me go anywhere, Lord? Boy. Could I hear it? I mean, would I ask? I guess you would hear it, right? You know, because that's our great commission. But like, would I ask? Like, Lord, you know, short term, there's Pastor Cliff going in. Could I go there with him? Could I go there with you? Pastor Clyde's going there with him. One of the other parents. Could I go there? Yeah. If God would speak, would God speak such a thing to me? Amen. That's it. Would he call me? Hey, and here's another one. Listen to this one. And like, we don't have it happen this way. But what if like a pastor or missionary like came up to you and said, can you come visit me? Could you do that? Isn't that a good one? You know, I mean, that's kind of how I got started. I'm sitting next to Pastor Shara on the pulpit, and he looks over at me, you know, 30 years ago. Hey, will you go here with me? And I go, uh-huh. And like, in the same conversation, would you go there with me? Uh-huh. Amen? Because this is good for us, isn't it? It is. So like, you know, men,
go get you one. You know, I mean, this is, you know, what can they say? No. Would they have an excuse? Do you have an excuse? Of course you do. And we all know what an excuse is. Skin of a reason, stuffed with a lie. So watch your excuses. Amen? And like, so here, like this is Pastor John, come up and we'll just, wherever you might be, are you already up here? Hey, my precious son-in-law, Pastor John. And so just as we close in a worship time, hey, let's think this way. Where, Lord? Maybe, like, maybe I'm like someone and I'm just praying, would somebody ask me, you know? Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? Like, I'm burning for it. And that, like, gives us the courage. Like, if the man of God would come to me and say, come, I might respond. Amen.